Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You want to be efficient, you want to be explosive, it's hard to be both. That being said, however, you need to create explosive plays.
3 years they've been telling me about boards.
To hell with boards.
Throw them out.
We're done with boards.
We're done with their boards.
No boards, all trains.
All aboard!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
We're not done with boards. In fact, I've made a new board. It's the wide receiver big board. We're going to put the names on it this segment.
I believe we have a team that is tampering out there with our wide receivers, by the way.
Who?
See what Xavier Leggett said yesterday? Who you just referenced, Joe Marino's number four wide receiver.
Yeah.
He said that he visited the Panthers, quote, about four times plus a 30 visit 2 weeks ago. The Panthers picked 33rd, by the way, and 39th. Is that allowed? I thought you were only allowed to have one visit. He's visited five times with the Panthers?
You are allowed to visit in other spots.
Okay, so maybe they've met up.
I think it might be one trip to the facility.
Okay, so maybe one trip to the facility, and then he's met them for lunch a few times?
Who knows? I mean, the Bills have met with a lot of receivers at the combine.
But have they met with anybody five times?
That's a good question.
Is that normal? It seems like a lot.
Let me get you the rundown on this. I saw my text group, buddy of my text group, sent the full list of not only who the Bills have visited with, but how many times. There was a thread going around on Twitter from I Am Groot. Yeah, Dan Groot, who posted his board and Bills visits. It's got A.D. Mitchell, one. Mm-hmm. Brian Thomas, two. Three visits with Troy Franklin. Two with Jalen McMillan. Two with Ladd McConkey. Two Xavier Worthy. Two Roman Wilson. Then, of course, you got guys that we don't know if they visited with. Bean said yesterday they've completed all of their 30 visits, right? And we don't have all 30 names.
Right.
So
what, we have like 18 of them?
I think it's the neighborhood.
So like a dozen we don't know.
So before we get to this big board, by the way, it looks like new Broncos and Texans uniforms are coming today. Or no, the Broncos is next week, Monday. The Texans are totally new look, new helmet, lots of stuff going on with them.
Yep.
Anyway, before we get to our big board, I tweeted something out a moment ago. I was trying to make this point, and I clumsily made it. What else is new? But now I've got more clearly what I want to say about it. And that is that if the Bills do not trade up, there's a distinction to make on why they didn't.
Yeah.
That's important, I think. Because the Bills are not a do not trade up, it's not smart team. They are not that team. They are not a team that subscribes to the theory that trading up for your guy is not smart. They do it all the time. Elam, Kincaid, they did it for Edmonds, they did it for Allen. Of course, in a quarterback, nobody would dispute, like, go get the guy you want. But they consistently trade up for guys they want. They trade up for Cody Ford. Like, they trade up all the time. It's something they love to do. They target guys. They get guys they like. There's lots of draft theory that says don't do that. So we know they don't back off of trading up because it's not smart. We know they do move up for their guy. And because of that, if we get here a week from today, and they did not trade up in this draft, I don't think it would be for lack of trying. And this might be a small point to make, but I think it's, again, key. If they don't trade up, it won't be because of process. It will be because of price. Mm-hmm. And sure, lots of teams would say, no thanks, I can't pay that price. But there are some teams that process would say, I don't want to do that. That doesn't seem smart to me. Why would I trade up for a tight end, a corner, on and on and on?
Mm-hmm.
So their process includes trading up.
Yep. And they do it all the time.
They do it all the time.
Four out of six first-round picks.
So yep. A week from tonight, if we're here Friday and they didn't, I'm sure I'll read the Bills decided it wasn't smart. And I don't think that's true. I think that they would do it if they got the right price. And it's, again, the kind of price that even some would say you still shouldn't do it. You still shouldn't. There's no justification to go to ninth and spend a future first round. If they got Marvin Harrison Jr. and he goes to the Hall of Fame, there are still some people that would say, like, well, it's still not that smart to do that with draft capital. And I don't think the Bills are a team that thinks it's not smart. I think they think it's fine. So yeah. Take that for what it's worth.
Yep.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We're going to do our Friday mock draft coming up at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
We do mocks every Friday.
Have we picked a receiver yet? We have. Last week?
That's a good question.
I'm assuming. We had to.
Last week. I don't remember.
We picked the center 3 weeks ago.
Austin,
Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson Powers Johnson.
He is more and more being mocked in the second round.
Falling a bit.
He is the guy that is falling. I guess the thing is, this is with Troy Franklin too. Oregon's just weird. Oregon's system, like, it's just, don't trust it. I guess there's a little bit of.
It would be funny if you could get a peek at an NFL team's board. And yeah. You got all the prospects. Like, what's that column over there? That's the box we check called Oregon is weird.
We check it's own column.
Yeah, check. Well, he's got that little mark next to him.
Right.
Yeah, it's Oregon is weird. It's a green dot. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, you want to put together this wide receiver board?
Let's do it. One is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Shouldn't we have this?
Next 11.
Shouldn't Bills Mafia have some sort of universal board
we
like for how this player fits the Bills?
Yep. Right, is this a big board of who we think the best players are or who best fits the Bills? Like, if they were... Well,
who we want.
Who we want.
Who we want.
Who we want. Okay, there we go. Which, obviously, Harrison Jr.
Are we all in agreement Marvin Harrison Jr. is number one?
Most of us. Chris Trapasso has neighbors number
he
one.
He does.
But that's usually pretty rare. For me, it's Harrison. Yeah.
Yes, I would rather have Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
Okay, he's on the board, number one.
Okay.
At number two... Are we a neighbors crowd or an Adunze crowd? The one thing about them that's interesting is Adunze is complete. Neighbors is more explosive.
Yeah.
Right? That's
oh, he's got rocket fuel.
That's the story. Neighbors is the explosion waiting to happen.
Yeah. But Adunze is, hey, prototypical ex-receiver, well-polished. He is insane with contested catches, but he still does get open, too. And... Matt Harmon, who we reference a lot on the show, like, he's maybe the most sour on neighbors of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say he hates him. He still thinks he's a top 10 pick. But he is Adunze number two because neighbors is more of has played more in the slot at LSU and I guess has some work to do, has some polishing to do on the outside, some of the stuff that Adunze's already got. But, I mean, the Bills set explosive plays and neighbors is the most explosive receiver, right? So... I'm not going to nitpick it too much. I like Adunze. I think it's close, but I think probably neighbors. Right.
I'd be ready to go Adunze too on the board of who we want.
I think Adunze is going to have the most impact right away.
The Bills trade up to six. Who do you want them to get? They're both on the board. Who do you want?
Adunze.
In that moment, there's 5 minutes on the draft clock. We've not entertained this debate much at all. We all get faced with it for the first time because they've traded up to six. Who do we want?
First off, I got to breathe in a paper bag for a while. So I'm catching my... They're moved up to six.
There's no time. No paper. No time. They got to pick.
Yeah.
I might say Adunze. I really might.
All right. Let's do it. Adunze.
All right.
I'm peeling...
Rome Adunze.
I'm peeling the name and putting it on the board.
All right. He's going right below.
Josh, you can tweet out some pictures of this, Josh, if you want. It's a very elaborate system we've got here.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison Jr., number one. Rome Adunze, number two. It's not Adunze, right? Or is it Adunze? We should probably figure out how to pronounce his name since we're projecting, you know, or thinking the Bills.
We'll ask him when he comes in studio on Friday morning.
Perfect. Yep.
Used to happen where the Bills would draft a guy, and then the next morning he'd be in here.
Yep.
I think who would have come in here?
Did Spiller come in here?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Marcel Darius? Any of the Bean McDermott guys? EJ?
Yes.
EJ's a yes. EJ, by the way, he's starting to... I guess he's pretty good on ESPN.
Good.
He's been making the rounds.
All right, three. We're going Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers, number three, yeah.
There's a big three.
We'd be insane if we didn't
do
that.
We can't upend the big three.
No. Yeah, there's a big three. We can't be... We can't be too crazy here. Neighbors number three. He does play more in the slot, but, I mean, they'd figure it out. It's also, he's like the CeeDee Lamb, yep. where it feels like, okay, he might play 50% in the slot, but that's not because he can't play on the outside. It's more because he's just insanely good in the middle of the field and deep.
Wide receiver four. Candidates include Brian Thomas Jr., Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy gets mocked here as much as anybody now.
Yeah. So I've got a little bit of a defense on Brian Thomas Jr. His numbers are the thing that are detracting people, especially yards per route run, but there's other stuff too. His yards per route run, it's different than Adonai Mitchell. I think they get grouped together a lot. Adonai Mitchell, I think two is typically like a below average number for that stat. Adonai Mitchell has never been above that number. Like, he's never had a single season where he was very good in that category. Thomas is different. Thomas, last year, 2.61. Not that far below the other guys that are supposed to go in the first round or second round of this draft class. In fact, ready for a reckless comparison for Brian Thomas Jr.? A number two wide receiver at LSU that's supposed to go mid to late first round. The last time that happened was who? Justin Jefferson. Number two LSU wide receiver that went supposed to go mid to late first round.
Yeah.
You want to know what Justin Jefferson's yards per route run was his draft season? 2.61. Sorry. That was with postseason. 2.49. Brian Thomas, 2.61. So the thing that is the biggest detractor for Thomas, he was better than Justin Jefferson at it.
You sold me.
One thing on that that is almost unfair to him, Thomas gets dinged on that number because he played a lot as a freshman. Like, he was better in that category as a freshman than Marvin Harrison Jr., but Marvin Harrison Jr. ran a third of the routes that Thomas did as a freshman, so it didn't knock him for his career a lot. I like Thomas a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. He's my number four.
Wide receiver five.
All right, this is where I struggle.
People at home are waiting for Ladd McConkey's first appearance, which is coming. Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Xavier Leggett. Read all the names I've got to put on this board. Keon Coleman. Roman Wilson made it here. Javon Baker. Wow. The only one I'm really missing is Jalen Polk. Ricky Pearsall's here. Wide receiver five.
Who's eligible for this?
Adonai Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell, Leggett's eligible for this, right?
Yeah,
Worthy.
You want Mitchell?
I think Adonai Mitchell is the right answer here.
Why not Worthy?
Size.
Size, and I just don't think he's ever a number one. Don't you want a guy that you can see becoming a number one?
To me, it's just about size. More teams might like the idea of a bigger body than just the straight top drag speedster.
Yeah. Yep. I still think Worthy to the Dolphins is something that could happen. They're nuts with the speed. I think they've talked about him.
Would it scare you?
It's a good question. On some level, yes, but I feel like you'd get a lot of making fun of it. Like, oh, you're just going to do the same thing you always do? Mitchell, number five. Okay.
Next up.
Adonai.
Worthy. Leggett. McConkey.
I think out of respect to Joe Marino, we should put Leggett next.
I like this idea as well.
Yeah.
He's got
him number four. We're still putting him two spots lower.
Sure. I might agree with number four. I like the idea just fine.
You told me 2 months ago you think he's a guy that the Bills would like.
Yes.
Right? Because of his story and, you know, all of it. The film guys love him. He was amazing last year. It's just a late breakout age is the biggest issue.
Big, strong Brett Coleman's comp for Leggett is A.J. Brown.
Yep.
Okay. After Leggett, we're on to wide receiver seven.
Wide receiver seven. Okay. All right. We're at 28, and all six of these guys are off the board.
Worthy is a candidate. Ladd McConkey is a candidate.
I think McConkey. Is there anyone that doesn't like McConkey?
No, everybody seems to like him.
The numbers guys like him. The film guys like him. The Georgia guys like him. The Bills fans like him, you know. I think everyone likes McConkey. I don't know that anyone thinks he's like... There are a lot of Diggs comparisons, too. Size-wise, where he lines up, the route tree, like, you know, comparing him to Diggs is a lot. But there are some comparables.
Okay, McConkey it is.
Worthy's got to be next, doesn't
up,
he?
Pearsall, Worthy, Keon Coleman, Javon Baker.
Doesn't Worthy have to be next?
Yes.
Just, yeah. I think he has to.
Xavier Worthy going next up on the big board.
More and more, his draft stock is going up. His over-under went up 3 spots, I think, in the last couple of days. So maybe the ghost of Al Davis will get him to the Raiders at 13 or wherever that's supposed to happen. So I would think he could even be gone by the time the Bills are up, but I just don't think he fits.
Listen, if it starts to get weird in here, there's a slight smell of glue every time I peel one of these names off, so.
Okay.
You know, just saying.
Okay.
Could start to get weird.
Worthy.
Next up, Ricky Pearsall, Roman Wilson, Keon Coleman, Devontez Walker, Javon Baker. Now, if we're going on Bills visits,
yeah,
Devontez Walker and Keon Coleman have both visited.
Yep.
Does that matter to you?
A little bit. I mean, nothing crazy.
So has Roman Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't have Troy Franklin. I thought I made Troy Franklin's name on here, but I guess I did not. He could be a first-round pick. Although he had a bad combine. He might be a classic Bean watches a guy have a bad combine and then takes him in the second round.
I asked that to, who was it? So I asked that to, do we have an Oregon guest on recently about his combine? And the answer I got was, what did he run, a 4.40? Like, it was a lot of, he wasn't that bad at the combine, just he got outshined by some freaks out there, right? Thomas and Mitchell and Worthy all were insane that, you know, Franklin running a pedestrian, not even pedestrian, like a decent 40. There were other stuff too, wasn't there? So comparing him to Coleman, I think maybe I would put Coleman next. Remember, the thing about that was that Franklin ran a 4.40, Coleman ran a 4.63, but then they did the gauntlet drill, and Coleman was faster than Franklin was, and was the fastest of the receivers. So I think Keon Coleman would be the next name I would put up here.
I'm into it. Coleman.
He was the guy I liked the most during the college football season.
Well, it's because he makes freakish catches.
Right, I would see him on SportsCenter top 10.
The thing I worry about with him, you know, he to me looks like the new the play breaks down target. Because if he's not going to shake free and get open on his own, I don't want 50-50 balls. The idea of coming down with a 50-50 ball is great if your quarterback needs to throw 50-50 balls.
Right.
How often does Allen even do that?
No, usually he's scrambling, waiting for someone to get open, and he works back to the football. He'll throw him deep. He would throw those passes deep to Gabe Davis, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Davis.
But how often? Like 4 times a year?
Davis,
5 times a year?
A lot of Davis touchdowns are breakdown.
He won against the Chargers.
Chargers. Yeah. I mean, Davis is being covered by a linebacker on that play. And then, you know, turns upfield, and Allen finds him for a big game.
Coleman's just slow. Man, he's just slow.
But he plays fast. Devontez Walker, Javon Baker, Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall. Can't believe I forgot Troy Franklin and Jalen Polk. People are going to be mad at me.
Devontez Walker.
It's like the first visit we ever found out about.
It's true.
Yeah,
maybe just flip, you know, fit into his schedule.
Yep. All right, I'm good with that. Devontez Walker, last year at North Carolina, 700 yards, 7 touchdowns. He had 900 yards the year before that at Kent State. So some good numbers.
Next up, I want Ricky Pearsall here.
Okay,
I think he's under the radar a bit.
Yep,
like him.
Did we determine he's the worst name in the draft? Ricky.
It's fine. Nothing wrong with Ricky. I've seen him mocked to Pittsburgh, second round, Miami.
Okay. Okay. What did he run at the 40 or at the combine? The one thing I don't feel like I have a grasp on is how fast he is. 4.41. Okay. So perfectly fine.
It is a funny receiver class where crazy fast speeds are forgotten about.
Yeah.
Like 4.41's fast.
Right. But right, because Thomas, Mitchell, and Worthy all were insane, because like the other one you remember is how slow Coleman was. The guys in the middle, I just completely lost.
You were quick to put that next name
Roman
up there.
Roman Wilson.
Not even discussion.
There's only two names left, and I don't want anyone to actually think that we're, you know.
I will eat my hat if they draft Roman Wilson.
In like the second round? He's totally fine for a second round guy.
He can't play on the outside. They're going to draft another slot receiver? He's good. He did visit with them, so they must somewhat be open to it. But I can't believe they would draft Roman Wilson.
Well, you know,
now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I made this big board. I just don't want you to take it too seriously.
That's fair. Yeah. And then Javon Baker at the bottom. Look at that. Look at that. We've got our big board.
I'm already regretting that people are going to be like, where's Jalen Polk? Where's Jalen McMillan?
Uh-huh.
Where's Troy Franklin?
Where's,
pretend Troy Franklin's in here.
Who's the guy we think that's probably off their board? Jermaine Burton?
Not on their board.
Not on their board.
Not on their board, yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for humoring us. We're going to bring this giant board to the party.
Can we, someone's going to bring a defensive tackle board just to be funny.
You know what would be a cool thing to do? These are all stickers on this big board. Is if they were to draft, you know, Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah.
You could pull the name off and stick it to your shirt. And like now you've got the first ever Brian Thomas Jr. jersey.
Yeah. That's true. That would be, rather than duct tape and then the Sharpie, that would be a big upgrade.
These stickers.
Yeah. Although, right. What number did he wear at LSU?
11.
11. All right, there you go. For your Cole Beasley jersey,
yeah,
you can replace it.
803-0550, less than a week out from the draft. New uniforms for the Broncos, and the leak is cool. There's one little element of the Broncos jerseys that you wouldn't notice unless they tell you to look for it, and it's pretty cool. I'll tell you what that is. And Houston's going with a totally new third look. It almost looks like an NHL team, how different their third helmet is. They made one up, and I think it looks good, too. Fun times in the NFL. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
I think there's a very good chance they could go two scoops, and I think it would make a lot of sense. When you look at the construct of this draft, it's extremely deep in the first 2 days at wide receiver. You've got the top tier guys. We know about them. It gets a little stronger there in the back end of one. But then in the second round, you've got guys like Ricky Pearsall. You've got Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett. I mean, you have a lot of guys who could come in and become good wide receivers. So while you may not be able to find one number one right away, you might be able to find two number twos that could really come in and make an impact as rookie wide receivers and guys who end up more productive than expected.
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com. 6 days from the draft. I teased going to the break that the Broncos are revealing new jerseys on Monday. And a funny thing happened yesterday. Those jerseys got leaked, number one. And then I learned today that CTESPN is Antonio Brown's Twitter. I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He is, I guess, his personal account and that account.
CTESPN.
But that's him, yeah.
And he broke the Diggs thing like a week before?
Maybe even 2 weeks before. He had something about the Texans and Diggs, yeah. And he's had other stuff.
So speaking of he has stuff, I'm going to get back to the uniforms in a minute. He had the Broncos jersey leak. He had the Texans helmet leak. He also, from this same account, tweeted there's a blockbuster NFL draft coming. There's a big draft about to happen, trade. Blockbuster NFL draft trade is coming.
Ooh, okay. Bills?
Keep it in mind. Don't know. Maybe that's an Ayuk trade.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Jefferson.
Would it be a draft one?
Could be Minnesota moving up to 3.
Is he considered 9-28 blockbuster?
Who knows?
Jefferson would be that.
So anyway, the Broncos uniforms, they're going to be released on Monday.
Yeah.
But there's a picture of these uniforms, Broncos uniforms. The Broncos, according to sportslogos.net, have indicated there's also going to be a blue version and a throwback uniform. But one thing they have on the sleeves is triangles down the side. Okay, you're like, what do you mean by triangles down the side? I'm going to show you a picture of this. The number, and basically, if we're going to make fun of them, they almost look like little dots of sweat, like armpit sweat, a little bit, if you want to make fun of them.
That is what they look like, yeah.
But they're little triangles that indicate mountains on a topographical map. That's what they're a tribute to, is it's a tribute to the mountains of Colorado.
These teams try too hard, man.
I don't think it's that bad. These jerseys, if in fact these are the Broncos' new jerseys, they are upgrades.
They're definitely upgrades.
They're standard, modern NFL jerseys that aren't too crazy.
Do you have anything on the helmet?
Nothing from the helmet.
Okay. The helmet's very important to me in that I really think they should go back to the Bronco that's like inside the letter D that they had in Elway's era in the late 80s and early 90s. Pair that with that jersey, that'll look way cleaner than what they have right now.
Yeah. Connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Jay in Hamilton. Hey, Jay, good morning.
Hey, boys. Real quick, I've noticed that the name E.J. Manuel has come out the last couple of weeks, which just blows my mind. I don't know if you know this, but he was featured on the Don't Kill Me. My wife watches it, so I had to watch it. But this show called Designing Miami. And they designed his whole house for him. And what was interesting is that I think of the two paraphernalia pieces that I saw them show, one was a Florida State jersey that I think just had a number, but the other one was a C.J. Spiller jersey under glass. I just thought it very strange, but yeah. That was E.J. Manuel being profiled on Designing Miami, if you want to check that out.
Cool.
So the yak and rack yard is definitely yak, okay? I grew up with John Madden putting that circle around that number on the teleprompter of Celestrator and always talking about that. I believe he might have first started it doing Jerry Rice ones because we all know how much you love Jerry Rice. So it's yak yards, and as for me and my house, we serve yak yards.
All right.
So that's how it is.
Thanks, Jay.
Real quick, I do think you guys made a lot of great points about the yardage and that kind of stuff. I do think I'll just say this. The fact is, the way I look at this is the Bills haven't made the Super Bowl yet or won it. So I just say to myself, maybe they do need a receiver who can give them that yak yards, right? I look at them talking about Josh the last two or three years and talking about trying to take the ball or the pressure out of his hands a little bit. I'm not for that. Josh is a centaur. Let him go nuts. But I'm not against them going with a receiver who can catch the ball 3 or 4 yards and then sudden go for 20, right, and bring us out of our seat. So I'm not against that. I don't think it's a bad thing to have, and I think that's what they might be looking for with this draft and what they've done with Samuel. I'm pretty excited by that potential. So Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, Jay. Yeah, the yak stuff. So I got a answer to one of the questions I had earlier. I want to thank someone who wrote in on what the Bills were with Brady versus Dorsey on yards after catch. So Eric Turner did a breakdown of this, and Jeff tweeted me in to let me know, Eric Turner of Cover One, that on yak, pre-Brady with Dorsey, the Bills were 24th.
Okay.
And with Brady, they were 8th in yak yards. Now, where were they on total yards? About the same?
I think so, right?
Yards per game, total yards of offense.
Yeah.
My point is simply this. I'm not telling you yak is bad or I don't want yak. But Jeff writes in, maybe Joe B is that next elite play caller. Maybe. He turned Diggs into a yak receiver instead of throwing down the field to Diggs. And Davis, by the way, was absent from the team. Another guy that was a vertical receiver. Davis has had some of the most vertical targets and most downfield targets in the NFL. How many of Gabe Davis's 200 yards receiving against the Chiefs were yak yards? I don't know. I never cared about it.
Mm-hmm.
200 yards is great. If they go for 5 air yards, the quarterback stops getting credit, and now the credit goes to the offense and the scheme. It's like this kind of this little internal fight we all have about Josh Allen. Josh Allen's not the same quarterback as Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Bills try to turn him into Patrick Mahomes? Mahomes throws for 338 yards in the game, and the air yard's like 92. Does that mean he's not any good? Or does he get it right on the money, right to the guy in the scheme that's got space to run? And the Bills have not really been that kind of team. They've been more Allen throwing to guys down the field, whether that's Diggs, whether that's Emmanuel Sanders. Like, was Emmanuel Sanders a good yak guy? Was Beasley?
Not at the end.
Was Beasley a good yak guy? No.
He'd fall down.
Beasley was an all-pro, and yeah. He just went to spaces and got open.
Right. McKenzie's been their best yak guy, and how often was he on the field?
Yeah.
Like, what was his high in targets for them in a season, McKenzie? Like, 30? Well, I guess that final year he would have played more, right, because they didn't have a starting slot receiver. McKenzie's career high in targets for the Bills was that final year. He had 65. But before that, like, really, when he was playing the role he was meant for, 39, 34, 26. Like, we're talking about a bit role player in their offense, which was their only guy, really, that you would ever throw to in situations like that.
Yeah.
And now you have a guy that's going to be a focal point of the offense, right? For now, Curtis Samuel's a focal point of the offense.
Yeah.
That's not McKenzie. That's a guy that's on the field for 70% of plays, not 15% of plays. I feel like they've already done it. I feel like they've already done it. Curtis Samuel satisfies this want and plan that Brady might have. Brady, go look at his Carolina team. Go look at his Carolina team with Teddy Bridgewater, a quarterback, by the way. So it's going to be a little bit of a tough comparison because of the level of quarterback that you've got. But look at what that Panthers team did. Sure, they had Curtis Samuel, and he was the guy that did a lot of this yak stuff. But who else did they have on that roster? Robbie Anderson led them in receiving that year. That dude runs two routes. He just runs deep.
Yeah.
That's all Robbie Anderson did. DJ Moore is also a very accomplished receiver at getting open down the field. Like, Samuel was third on that pecking order. Joe Brady had two outside receivers that ran down the field that both came in over top of Curtis Samuel. They don't have a DJ Moore or a Robbie Anderson on this football team right now.
Well, just getting back to yak and how important it is, yards after catch. Dalton Kincaid's yards after catch per reception this year, 4.3. You're like, okay, is that good? Is that bad? And again, don't we all think Dalton Kincaid is as smooth catch and turn and run as there is? Right? His skill set's fantastic. He finished behind Dawson Knox in yak. Here's an abbreviated list of guys that finished ahead of him in yak. Pat Freiermuth, Dalton Schultz, Adam Trautman, Evan Engram, Foster Moreau, Donald Parham Jr., Kate Otten, Noah Gray, Mark Andrews, Okonkwo, Chris Manhertz, Jack Stahl, Luke Musgrave, Kelsey, of course, Robert Tonyan, Tyler Higbee. Like, there's like 30 names ahead of him.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's the 30th best at eluding tackles? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So much of it is going to be scheme, the kind of throws you make, the kind of throws Allen makes, Allen chooses, the way teams defend you. So yeah. It's there. It's there for the Bills to chase. They've been chasing it for a couple of years, and if they reach that goal, then that's great. To Jay's point, hey, they haven't won a Super Bowl. Maybe that's the kind of player they need. That's right. The Niners also haven't won a Super Bowl. They're consistently at the top of the league in yak. Mm-hmm. Should they go away from it? No, I don't think so. I think yak comes down to scheme, players, and your quarterback. And the Bills' scheme hasn't always been heavy for it. The quarterback hasn't always been heavy for it. And the players, too. So if you just go out and get a receiver that has the ability, I don't necessarily think that adds it in. Maybe Joe Brady's offense will bring a little bit more of it out. I'm here to tell you, as I've been laying out, like, I don't really care. If Josh Allen throws for 325 yards and 300 of it is yak or 25 of it's yak, it's about the same to me.
I think you just want to be better than – you want to be in a better place than you were last year. What were they good at in terms of their weapons last year? What were they legitimately good at? Because these teams – some of these teams have identities – the Niners and the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins are, if not for the team overall, but for the weapons they've got, that's what you want to be. They are insanely talented in both. They are terrifying when you get the ball in their hands on these smaller yak plays that we're talking about, and they are also terrifying running past you. The clips of Tyreek Hill when they try to line him up one-on-one, like, it's just a joke.
Yeah, it is worth pointing out, is that someone might be, only against bad teams.
Yeah,
only against bad teams. They got to find their next gear, but no, you're right.
Were the Bills good at either of those last year? Because Matt Harmon says Diggs fell off last year when it came to down the field. Gabe Davis was not getting open down the field, and none of their guys really were all that dangerous with the ball in their hands. So there's really, you want to be good at both. You want to be good at threatening the defense over the top, and in concert with that, you want to be dangerous with the ball in your hands. And the Bills are at a starting point where last year they were not good at either. And right now, I think I could argue they're good at the yak stuff already just by adding Curtis Samuel
and Shakir.
And they are nowhere when it comes to being threatening over the top.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. New Texans, new Broncos. How about a red helmet, Bills? You know, I'll take something. You can join us if you'd like. It's 8:50 here on a
overcast Friday, a little bit of rain falling. TGIF, right? Got to the weekend. 6 days to the draft on WGR.
Be caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. Win a pair of tickets to see Jamie Johnson at R Park's Main Stage Theater July 16th, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this morning in about an hour, 10 o'clock Eastern AM at Ticketmaster.com.
NHL first round schedule is out.
Mm-hmm.
Playoffs start Saturday. 5 p.m. Islanders-Canes, 8 p.m. Leafs-Bruins.
Do you know who the Stanley Cup favorites are?
Carolina and Edmonton?
Carolina and Edmonton. So if you want to wait for Brindamore, you might be waiting 2 months.
You might. Islanders' hottest team in hockey.
You want to bet them?
No.
I'll bet you right now they don't win. What do you want to bet? I'll bet you they don't get past game 5 of that series.
So it's got to go 6 games for me to win?
6 games for you to win.
I mean, I don't ever in my life want to watch 6 Islanders games. So I don't think I could do that.
Uh-huh.
There's a quadruple header on Sunday. 12:30, Lightning Panthers. 3 o'clock, Caps Rangers. 7 o'clock, Avalanche Jets. 10 o'clock, Predators Canucks.
The bracket, Travis Yost has been on this, TSN, about the Western playoff bracket and how dumb it is. This is the NHL playoff format, right? Where there's a legitimate argument that 4 of the top 5 teams in the West are in one side of the bracket. Like, Golden Knights and Stars shouldn't happen. It's insane that those two are meeting in round one. The Oilers, if you look at their side, they have to go through Nashville, Vancouver, and LA to get to the conference finals. And Vancouver, I guess, is one of those like weird teams that everyone thinks is a little bit fake. So that's why Edmonton is favored to win the West, I think, because their path is a lot easier than, say, if you're Dallas. Dallas, your path is Dallas is great. Didn't they finish first in the West in the regular season? Okay, congratulations, Dallas. You won the regular season in the Western Conference. Here's your reward. You have to go Vegas, Colorado in your first 2 rounds. Congratulations.
Yeah. Quadruple header on Saturday. That's good.
Yeah.
Take it. All right, we're going to break in. We got our next mock draft. We have Friday mocks. PFF.com will run it. I don't know what our theme is today. Are we working off our own big board?
I think so.
We could.
We have not. We tried. Didn't we wait to trade up?
We tried to trade up.
And it didn't work out.
So maybe we try to trade up this time.
Yeah.
But all those receivers have to last long enough to make the trade.
That's what happened last week. Yes. Okay, that's right.
They all went by the 6th pick, I think.
Yeah, and there was no chance.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.